I've got about 20 minutes. It's impossible. I'm going to do my best to get that done. I've got a 3.5-hour drive. I've been on the road since July the 8th, and I've done 3 camps in 11 days. Spoke about 18, almost 20 times in 11 days. We saw, including this, close to 80 or 90 baptized, and saw over 100 or more saved this week. And so I'm excited about being here. I live in San Antonio, Texas, home of the San Antonio Spurs. We do have some saved people. So here's the deal. I've tried to figure out what's the quickest message. I don't have any quick messages, but I'm going to work hard. I mean, I got a 3.5-hour drive. I know some of you need to get to another place, and I'll do my best. Out in front, I'll be at my table when this is over. My books and different things are there. If you want to stop by, I'm in no hurry. Once I get home, I'm off next week, and my wife gave me permission Monday to just sleep. And I'll probably sleep in until about 7 in the morning. I hate sleeping. I mean, I feel like when I'm not awake, I'm missing something. If you've never heard me speak before, raise your hand. You've never heard me at all, hold my pot. What is mine? You'd like to give me money? Okay, all right. I love you. I've been doing this for over 35 years. I travel 280, 300 days out of the year. I hope I get to do this forever. I just turned 63 this past March. Thank you. I'll do 7 youth camps this summer. So it ain't about your age. It's just about your
heart.
See how well we listen. You see what's in your
heart
comes out of your
mouth.
What you say is what you
be.
If you're listening, say I am.
I am.
I changed my message for the middle school. So high school, you just hang on. When we get distracted, students, we'll lose 3 things. We lose our focus of, we lose our passions for, and we lose our fellowship with. Now you can come back with me, high school. And then we talked about priorities. If the devil can't make you, then the devil will make you. What's really important, if you're listening, say yes. And then our best friend ought to be, our second best friend ought to be, and our third best friend ought to be people who love God's word and love God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you got a Bible, open up quickly to Romans 3. I'm going to tell you a story in a moment of about a guy that asked the right questions, went to the right person at the right time, but he never did the right thing. I hope this morning that you will listen. If you did not go to camp this week and you're here today, raise your hand. You didn't go to camp and, all right, good. I appreciate you being here. I want to give you a message title, and I'll give it to you in just a moment, and I'm going to preach this a whole lot shorter than I would. Everybody say good.
Good.
Ain't good enough.
Amen.
Now, I'd write that down. See, the problem is we settle for good and we miss the greatness of God. The only good thing in me is Jesus Christ. Bad thing in me, that's me. And I hope that if you see anything good in my life, that you see Jesus. I'm going with this message because I think it's important. I think religion is a good thing, but religion won't save you. Everybody say religion.
Religion.
Without Jesus, it's worthless. You see, I believe hell, and please, you need to listen today. I believe hell is going to be full of religious people. They did good religious things, but they never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Everybody say good ain't good enough. Say good is the enemy to great. There are 3 enemies in our life. 1 Peter 5, don't turn to it, but 1 Peter 5, 7, 8 says that your great enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, if you don't think the devil's real, then go to South Carolina, go to the church where a young man sat in that service 45 minutes at a prayer meeting, Bible study, and then at the very end, He shoots and kills 9 people in that Bible study. If you don't think the devil's real, then go to a base in Chattanooga where a dude drives through on this base and shoots and kills 4 unarmed servicemen. If you don't think the devil's real, all you got to do is pick up your paper every day. So the enemy, are you ready? He is our great enemy. But the other enemy in our life, everybody say, I can be my own worst enemy. How many of y'all have ever said that about yourself? Anybody here? Anybody ever said that to you? You're your own worst enemy? So those are 2. But here's the biggest enemy, and I need you to listen close. Because I think people will come to church today lost, and many of those people will leave lost. And I think it's a tragedy. I think every opportunity we have to share the gospel and to present an invitation for salvation, we ought to do it. Everybody say good and good enough. Look at Romans chapter 3. Go quickly, go to verse 10, and then I'm going to tell you my story. Romans chapter 3, I'll share a little bit of my life as well. Romans 3, verse 10, when you get there, say, I'm there. And let me read this. As the scripture says, no one is, everybody say good. No one is righteous or good, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one really seeks God. Look at verse 12. All have turned away. All have become useless. And watch this. No one does, not even one. Now, if you're listening, say yes. Let me set this up for you, okay? Even here in Romans, a lot of people believe that if you obey the law, the law was good, but the law couldn't save you. See, we have a lot of people today that think that if they get Christians or even baptized, that did not save anybody. That baptism that you saw today was an outward expression of an inward change. Baptism never has and never will save you. You can get christened as a Catholic, sprinkled as a Methodist, and you can go to hell wet. If you're listening, say yes. You can join any church you want and it won't make you a Christian. If I join the Girl Scouts, ain't gonna make me a girl. And according to my granddaughter, I'd be an ugly girl. If you're listening, say yes. So everybody say good, ain't good enough. Cause here's, and I'm gonna share a quick story. You see, I didn't even know good. 9 stepfathers in my life. 38 million kids in America have no idea where their real father is. 19 million kids in America have never seen their real dad. Some of these students, I'm listening, some students are going to go home to a mess. They're not going to go home to a hug. They're going to go home to hell. And we as a, and students, I got to tell you this, camp is never over. When this morning's over, you've got to figure out how can you stay in contact with some of your teammates? How can you encourage them in their faith and to grow? Everybody say good. Ain't good enough. My dad walked out of my life when I was 4. I'm the oldest of 7 siblings. They're all screwed up but one. Took my first drink of alcohol at 9, in suicidal at 10, in jail at 15, became a product of my environment. When I share this message, you need to understand, I didn't even know what good was. I knew what bad was, and I thought bad was good. If you're listening, say yes. And I'll just tell you, over 40-something years ago, October of 1968 in Corpus Christi, Texas, I was living on a couch. A family took me in. I had nowhere to go. And a football player by the name of Jeff, who, let me tell you, was one of the greatest people in my life and still is, got me to go to church. And the first time I ever heard the gospel, I gave my life to Jesus. If you're listening, say yes. So let me watch this. Everybody say the law is good, but it can't save you. See, here's what I mean. Let me give you the picture. The law is a mirror. This morning, as I stood in front of the mirror, the law says, and the mirror is a good thing. It says I need to shave, need to brush my teeth, but it shows me what I need to change. But it can't change me. Are you ready? So the mirror drives me to my razor or drives me to my shaving cream that will cleanse my face. The law was a good thing. Let me prove it to you. Read on with me. Look at verse 13. Their talk is foul like the stench of an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. These are good people. By the way, good marriages will end in divorce. I just got a text from a lady And I'm real close to her husband and her boys, and he's walked out on them. Good marriages will end in divorce. I'll be married 43 years this August 17th. I want you to, and listen, I have a great marriage. I've got a great wife. Good kids will get drunk. Good kids will have babies out of wedlock. Good kids will kill and murder. Good churches will split. You see, here's the difference. There's a difference between good and great. Read on with me. Look, if you would, at verse 15. They rush to commit murder. And look at verse 16. This sounds like me and my 8 grandkids at Chuck E. Cheese. Destruction and misery always follow them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Watch. They don't know where to find true peace. They have no fear of God. Now look at verse 19. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses, watch, and to show the entire world that they're guilty before God. And look at verse 20. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. This Bible is a great book, but the Bible's not going to save you. But the Bible will show you that you need faith, that you need grace. It will show you what Jesus did on the cross. And so this word is a good thing, but it's Jesus who saves. Now do me a favor, go to Matthew quickly. Matthew chapter 19, and here's my story. I wish I had about 2 or 3 hours. How many of y'all think I could go 2 or 3 hours? Raise your hand. Yeah, there ain't no problem. See, and Mom and Dad, can I go ahead and tell you? They probably could go with it. See, and I love doing what I do, but I'm going to tell you, I know some students here are going to go home to a bad situation. And I would challenge this student body, I would challenge you as parents, get your priorities right. Make Jesus first in everything that you do. Today, talk to your kids, find out what God did in their life. Take time to do that, because if the devil can't make you, he will make you. Let me say it again, if the devil can't make you, he'll make you busy. If you're listening, say yes. So here's my story. Go to Matthew 19, and would you go to verse 16? Everybody say, show me the money. Yeah, this is a rich dude. Are you ready? This dude had all kinds of money, but he had several questions for Jesus. Question number one, he came to Jesus with this question. He said, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus answered, why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there's only one who is
good.
Everybody say, only God, is good.
Good.
Everybody say, good.
Good.
Say, great.
Great.
I watched as you guys, you know, shook hands and blah, blah, blah. And people asked me this morning, how you doing? And typically when somebody asks you how you doing, you say,
good.
I'm good. It's all good. It's all good. How's the family? Oh, they're good. How's that job? Oh, it's good. How's those kids? Oh, they're so good. And you know what? Half the time it ain't even good. How many of you have ever asked somebody how they're doing? You didn't really want to know, but you were just asking. Raise your hand. If you're not raising your hand, you're lying. And we know where liars go, correct? Washington, D.C. Here's the deal. That was funny right there. If you're listening, say yes. So everybody say good. The next time somebody asks you how you're doing, just to see if they're listening, make stuff up. So how you doing? Well, I have leprosy. My wife lost her job. She's in the hospital. My kids have wrecked both of our cars. My house is burned down. You could go through a whole scenario, and as soon as you finish and the person asks you how you're doing, as soon as you finish, they'll do this. Well, that's good. If you're listening, say yes. Say good. Say great. There's a huge difference. Are you ready? Good basketball teams don't win an NBA championship. It's the good football teams don't win a Super Bowl. It's the good baseball teams don't go to a World Series. It's the Muhammad Ali. Anybody know his nickname? Now, are you ready? They called him the greatest because he could knock people out. Now, I wish I was in a Pentecostal church right now. Because if I was, somebody would lose it here. But most bunch of y'all are going to go, oh, that's so good. Muhammad Ali, because he could knock people out, They called him the greatest. Are you ready? If he's the greatest because he can knock people out, Jesus must be greater. He knocked out sin. He knocked out death. He knocked out the devil. That is, if you're listening, say yes. Yeah, a few of y'all got happy. Wayne Gretzky. I don't even think ice hockey's a real sport. I put it in there with men wrestling other men in their underwear. Dude, that's sick right there. I'm just telling you. Are you ready? Wayne Gretzky, because he can skate on ice with a puck and a hockey stick, because he can skate on ice, they call him the great one. Well, if that's true, then Jesus must be greater because he walked on. He moved mountains. He healed people. Listen, he rose from the dead. He's coming again. Everybody say great.
Great.
Is there a difference, yes or no?
Yes.
So here's my question today. Are you settling for good? Listen, the best thing in your life and the only good thing in your life is Jesus Christ. The next time somebody says to you, I'm good, they're lying. Tell them, only one thing is good, and that is, if you're listening, say yes. So read on with me, here it is. So he said, why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there's only one who is good, but to answer your question, and I'm going fast, he said, if you obey all the commandments, you can have eternal life. Everybody say good. Now, I love Jesus because I think he's messing with the dude a little bit. If you'll just obey all those deals, all of those commandments, you can have eternal life. Now, it's possible with Jesus. Look at the second question. Hey, Jesus, which ones do I obey? Good question. Now, this dude's got money, and he says, Jesus, if good ain't going to get me eternal life, then Jesus, which commandments do I obey? This guy's good. Read on. Jesus said, don't murder. I love this. Don't commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. All the students need to listen to this. Honor your father and mother. That would send most of you to hell right now. Can I get an amen, parents? Yeah, I'm trying to help you. And love your neighbor as your? Look at verse 20. Look at this, Jonathan. Look. Look at verse 20. He said, in fact, if you read the same story in Mark chapter 10, here's what it says in Mark. The dude said, ever since I was a little kid, I've obeyed all these commands. The dude's lying. Everybody say good. He said, ever since I was little, I've obeyed all these commands, Jesus. Now watch, because I'm going to get the most important question. Are you ready? How many of y'all have brothers, sisters, grandkids, cousins, and have people in your life that are 5 years and younger? Raise your hand. They are bad people. They're bad people. They eat dirt. They cry for no reason. They spit on you. They bite you. They're bad people. I was in an airport one time. Anybody ever heard of the Children Hunky? Holy in Terror? I met them at the San Antonio airport. I did. There was Holy. Was 8 years old, reading a book, drinking his little Coke, so holy. And then right underneath the chair of the mom was Terror. Like 2 years old, he was on a leash. You're laughing, I'm thinking, dude, I wish we had leashes for teenagers. Can you imagine? You're on a date with some guy, your dad's got that leash on you, and just as the guy goes in for suck face, you pull him back? If you're listening, say yes. Watch, this guy said, ever since I was a little kid, I've obeyed all these commands. But look at the third question, and some of y'all need to listen today. Hey, Jesus, I've obeyed all these commands, and look at the third question. What else must I do? If you were to read the same thing in Mark 10, in fact, do me a favor, turn to Mark chapter 10. Same story, look at what he says in Mark 10. Mark chapter 10, same story. Look if you would at verse 20, Mark 10, 20. Teacher, the man replied, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. Look at verse 21. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. He said, there's still one thing you haven't done, or what else must I do? Now I want to give you a great illustration. Are you ready? He said, Jesus, if my money's not good enough, and he had a lot of money, If my morals aren't good enough, evidently he had good morals. How many of y'all know good people that are not Christians? Raise your hand. How many of y'all know good people that are not Christians and they think they're going to go to heaven? Look at me. Are you ready? Here's what scares me. I know good lost people that are better than most saved people. Did you hear me? I know good young people that have better morals, better character. They're more respectful. They're more obedient than some kids that are saved. You see, hey, Jesus, if my money's not good enough and my morals won't get me there, I think he was married. I just don't know because he had money. Many of you will get that later. Are you ready? He had money, he had morals, and he probably had a marriage. But something was missing. Don't stop. Hey, Jesus, what do I need to let go of? Let me give you the best example that I've ever heard. It's a true story. In Africa, they catch these little teeny monkeys. I'll tell you how they catch them in a moment. And when they catch these little monkeys, they eat them. They use them for souvenirs, knickknacks, but here's how they catch them. They get a coconut and they kind of split it open. They kind of carve it out a little bit and they put a piece of food in that coconut, an apple, an orange. They put a hole through each end of the coconut and they put a string or rope through and they tie it to a tree. They go hide, not with knives or guns, but they hide with nets. If you're listening, say yes. And while they hide, the monkeys in the jungle will, I don't know if they smell the coconuts, I don't know what, but all I know is maybe it's feeding time, but they find these coconuts and they kind of mess with it a little bit and they put their hand in that hole. And they reach and feel around, they pull their hand out, they know something's in there. And they finally grab that apple or that orange, whatever it is, and they begin to pull it out, watch. But the only way they can get their hand out of the coconut is to watch. Because I didn't call y'all monkeys. I know you thought I did, but I didn't. But we're a lot like the monkey. As long as they hold on and they don't let, watch this. The hunters come and throw the nets over these monkeys. And they eventually break their necks. They kill them. All they had to do was, and this is not meant to be funny, but they die with their hand in a coconut. Here's my point. Are you ready? How many of you worry? Raise your hand. We've talked about this. As long as you hold on to worry, you'll never worship. I was watching some. As long as you hold on to fear, if you fear, say yes. As long as you hold on to fear, you'll never learn to trust. If you hold on to your past, you'll never enjoy God's presence. If you hold on to guilt, shame, and blame, like I did for years, I blamed myself for what happened to my sister. We were abused sexually, physically, any way you could imagine. You can't even imagine. And I held on to guilt, shame, and blame. I was saved for 3 years. And in February of 1970 at 1102 Melissa Drive in San Antonio, Texas, I finally took my hand out of the coconut and I let go of hate and I began to really love. You see, if you hold on to lies, you'll never know truth. Don't stop listening. If you hold on to compromise, if you hold on to rebellion, if you hold on to deception, you'll never know the peace of God. And watch this. If you hold on to religion, you'll never have a relationship with God. If you hold on to pride, you'll never know humility. If that makes sense, say yes. Watch, and I'm done. Watch. Hey, Jesus, what do I need to let go? What's missing? Look at verse 21 in Mark 10. In verse 21, he says, there's only one thing you haven't done. Go sell all your possessions. Give your money to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Watch this. The man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had what? Some version says that he had great wealth. Look at me. The dude went to the right person. Everybody say Jesus. He asked three very, very good questions and he got the right answers at the right time in the right place. But watch. This dude walked away from truth Some of you are going to do it today. Because we're so busy. We got to get to lunch. We got to get to here. We got to watch. We get so busy for God. He can't make us bad. He'll make us. And we really forget what's important. Are you ready? The dude walked away from eternal life. Oh, keep going and we're done. The disciples came to him. Jesus looked around. He said how hard it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Dear children, he said, it's very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, and even a small camel would be a big camel. What he's saying is, Donald Trump, can I go ahead and tell you, doesn't need God. He needs a hairpiece. Madonna, she needs clothes. Oprah, she just needs to get saved. Can I say this to you? As long as you don't need God, if you don't know you need God, listen to this statement. You'll never need God. If anybody here ought to be flipping God off, if anybody here ought to be cussing God out, look at me, it ought to be me. My mom beat us with belts and switches, would leave us for days and weeks at a time with whoever and whatever. I spent the night in bars and cars and streets, and I lived in fear. I never knew what good was. But when I got saved, I found out the only thing good in this world is Jesus Christ. And can I tell you this? I want more than good. I want to know his greatness. Greater is he that is in me, 1 John 4:4, than he that is in the world. He said, greater love hath no man than you lay your life down for a friend. In fact, John 12 says that you and I will do greater things than Jesus because he lives in us. Watch, and we're done. Verse 26, the disciples were astounded. Then who in the world can be saved, Jesus? I mean, this guy's got good morals. He's got great money. He's got a good marriage. Jesus, who can be saved? And Jesus answered, with man this is, but with God everything is. Then Peter said, hey, Jesus, we've given up everything for you. And Jesus replied, I assure you that everyone who has given up his house, his brothers, his sisters, Jonathan, I don't do this to embarrass you at all, but Jonathan, I'm telling you, I've had some great conversations, and this dude's life has been turned around. It took a bullet and a lot of other stuff, but can I tell you this? His passion for football, oh, he's still going to play football, but his passion for Christ is at the top of the list. You know what he told God? He said, God, it's all yours. My life, everything I got is yours. You see, look at what he says here. Look at here. Jonathan, this is for you. Look. He says, I assure you, anyone who gives up his house, brother, sister, mother, father, children, or property for my sake and for the good news will receive in return 100 times over houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children. But notice this, because Mark says it different than Matthew. Watch this. Along with property, but along with persecution. And in the world to come, that person will have eternal. Don't stop listening. You see, today, there are some really good people in this room, but good will never get you to heaven. Listen to me. There are some really good people in this, good morals, good values. But there are some of you here that you go to church, you know all the church stuff, but you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, religion without Jesus is worthless. But a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's priceless. My mom told me all my life that I'd never make it. Some of these kids that sit here, and I can just look at some of them. I was of no value, no worth. I'm going to ask the band to make their way up. Don't close your Bibles. My mom told me I'd be like my loser dad for a long time, and I bought into it. I was suicidal at 10. One of my dads beat me up pretty bad one night. I took a bottle of aspirins. I don't think I took the whole bottle. I don't know that I wanted to die. You know what's sad about my story? Please listen, because this Champion Forest is a great church. There's some of the greatest people I've ever met came from here. But can I go ahead and tell you? There's thousands of Ken Freemans that drive by your church every day. Students, don't leave camp. Don't leave it at Carolina Creek. Man, I hope you brought it home. I hope Jesus becomes your best friend. I hope this Bible becomes your best friend. I hope that God will surround you with people that love this book and love him. Don't stop listening. My mom said I'd never make it. The greatest day of my life, October of 1968. Living on a couch, I got nothing. This family just let me in. I haven't seen, I'm 63. Last time I saw a grandparent, I was probably 2 or 3. I'm the oldest of 7 siblings, and 4 or 5 of them I've never met. By the time I was 16, every day I thought of ways that I might could just die. I didn't want any pain. I just wanted to go to sleep. You see, my hand was in a coconut. And I held on tightly to hate. To fear. Depression. I just held on. In October of 1968, I let go. God saved me. I ended up, now my books are out there. I'm not going to get rich if you get it. I just go to Walmart, a little more than you. My story's on a DVD, CD. I've been sharing over 30-something years. I ended up in San Antonio living with a, I call them my Jesus parents. My last semester, senior year in high school, I ended up living in a camper in a carport. I finally let go of my hate for my mom and dad. Now, my mom never got saved. I witnessed to her for 14 years. She died lost. My dad, I found him after 42 years. In May of 2004, I led my 78-year-old dad to the Lord, and 12 days later, he died. Listen to me. There are some people in this room. You are invited to be here today. If you'll let go of your religion, you'll find a relationship. If you'll let go of your pride, you'll find humility. If you'll let go of good, you can find the greatness of life in God.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things he created instead of him. We have chosen to reject his authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things he created instead of him, which is ultimately pointless given that he is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.